Hey everyone, this is Kurt Franken with the Leading Saints podcast, and this is another clip of the Liberating Saints virtual summit that we're putting together. It starts September 10th. Registration is free to anybody who would like to by going to leadingsaints.org/liberating, and of course the link will be in the show notes with this as well, and you can register to make sure you don't miss any of these episodes or any of these presentations, I guess. I don't know what we're calling them, but so September 10th is when it starts. And phenomenal speakers, including Ann Blythe, who is the director of the Betrayal Trauma Recovery Nonprofit. They do phenomenal work with women who have experienced betrayal trauma, or who've been in relationships or are in relationships where betrayal trauma has been a part of that. Now, betrayal trauma is the trauma one experiences when their significant other is, or somebody they trust, has betrayed them, right? Obviously, there's a lot of trauma that goes through that. And when we talk in the context of, wrestling with pornography and sometimes progresses to sexual addiction, then, yeah, there's a lot of betrayal trauma going on. And Anne does such a phenomenal job articulating this experience to really help women come out of it and either find a healthy relationship or find safety in some form. And in this clip, she talks about this process that a lot of women go to. Now, she talks in the context of women because her organization primarily just works with women, right? So obviously betrayal trauma happens to men as well, or happens to anybody in the human experience. But that's why the focus on this clip is on women, because that's just that's where her organization helps. So she talks about this process that women go through when they experience abuse on some level because their husband or significant other is not being honest in that relationship, and especially is maybe acting out with pornography or infidelity.
So that psychological and emotional abuse is what we're talking about, and it's ongoing. It's not something that is just one event, that they're traumatized from one event. Betrayal trauma is different than other types of trauma because it's, number one, done by someone that you trust, that you think has your back, and number two, has a high likelihood of reoccurrence. And in abusive situations, we know what abuse means. It means it happens over and over again because it's a cycle. It's not something that just has happened one time. Awesome. So going on, when she is... So, and this working to improve the situation, this is her. She's trying to do these things. When a man does these things, when an abusive man, after the abuse, of course, then he'll go through the grooming period again. And this isn't talking about that specifically, but an abusive man will go through that grooming period. It's otherwise known as a honeymoon period, where they do those things, right? They do the dishes, they act great. And this is what's so confusing for women, because they're like, it's Jekyll and Hyde. He's amazing. And then he's terrible. I even did the math with my own scenario, with my own situation, and determined that it was only 3 days out of every 30 days that was really bad. So for me, it was like, man, do I throw away 90% of amazing for 10% of a nightmare? And I would like do that kind of math in my head, like, is this worth it? Is it not? But I didn't recognize, and so many women don't, that isn't really who he is. That's just a grooming period. And it could be really long, but it's not that like the genuine care for you is like deep in his soul. He's just putting on a facade to make it through until the next abuse episode happens. If they were abusive all the time, then no one, you know, then it would be very obvious to everyone. So No abusive man is abusive 100% of the time. It's just
That's a great point. And so you're saying that the wife in this case, sometimes they'll think, okay, he must be really stressed, so I'm just going to keep the house more put together, going to make sure the kids are good, and hopefully that'll help work him his way out of this. Is that
exactly? Most women go through that some form of this. With me, it was more therapy. We're going to go to a lot of therapy. With some women, it's I'm going to work out a lot and I'm going to be physically really attractive. Some women, it's I'm going to instigate family prayer. It depends on the woman, what she thinks is the problem and what she's going to like approach as the solution. But the next phase is realizing that all of her efforts haven't made any changes and things are still the same. The thing is she feels like they're still the same after she's made all these efforts. It's usually been years by this time. And then she doesn't know that the situation's actually worse. She thinks it's kind of the same because it's been like a frog in a pot. and it's inching toward boiling. And so that's something that abuse victims don't realize either, is that what they kind of see as the same as the cycle keeps going, is that the cycle gets a little tighter. So the abuse episodes start happening closer together.
Gotcha.
Okay. So then she goes through a phase of starting to recognize it's not her, because she's tried everything, right? She's tried improving her appearance. She's tried being nicer. She's tried this. She's tried that. She's tried all kinds of things. But then she doesn't know how to describe what's happening. So she'll just be like, I don't really know. You know, I've tried this. Things just aren't right between us. Some women during this stage find proof of lies or porn use or infidelity. I spelled infidelity wrong. Sorry about that. Infidelity. But they don't know how to call it abuse or how to call out the abusive behaviors. And some women never find any proof. So they couldn't even say he's using porn or he's unfaithful or he's lying to me. They just think, I don't really know what's going on. And they don't really have a foundation for knowing the truth. And I think that if leaders can take away two things, it's really important. Instead of worrying so much about the marriage or, you know, other things they might be worried about, if they can always be very concerned about two things: safety, emotional safety, spiritual safety, and truth, it's going to get them a lot farther than anything else, because truth is really difficult to like sort out sometimes in these situations. So when women reach out for help at this stage, when they don't quite have the words for it yet, when they don't know how to describe it, they usually don't get the right help because they still don't know how to accurately describe it. So they don't use the word abuse. And usually therapists and clergy don't recognize it as emotional abuse either. Generally speaking, during this phase, they're dismissed by therapists or clergy or helping professionals who are chalking it up to his addiction or stress or communication issues or different love languages, or maybe you need to go on more date nights. I mean, I could go on and on. I heard of one clergy, which I think I actually thought was really cute. He said, you just need to listen to more Christian music and you guys will be fine, you know, so advice like that, because they don't understand it's abuse. And if the woman is just saying something's not right, I don't know what it is, then clergy is not going to be like, oh, you're being abused, right? Because they're going to take their cues from the people who are coming in. So it becomes kind of like, well, read your scriptures more, pray more, because what are your other options? Also, the word abuse is really scary to say, because what does that mean? Right? Does this mean divorce? Like, this has some pretty drastic consequences.
In this phase, like, it just seems like something's not right. You know, something's off. Nobody can really pinpoint what it is. But I would imagine there are some marriages out there that it's just not jiving, right? It's not necessarily because abuse is happening. So is it one of those things where you just sort of have to wait it out, or are you saying that at this point you sort of have to pinpoint, yeah, there's abuse going on here, but I guess that's a hard stretch for some people when it just seems like things aren't jiving.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that. I have never been in a non-abusive marriage. So I don't know the answer to that per se, but I will say this. If the wife knows that there's lying, pornography use, or manipulation, knows that there's that, then you can say, this is an abusive situation. Gotcha. That is a really good indicator. Now, when there's no proof, even if she can't like take in proof to her bishop, right? And be like, look at this internet history, right? Even if she knows in herself that that's what happened, then that's a good guide for her. In terms of if she has no proof, if something's just not quite right, setting boundaries will start helping her recognize what it is. And we can talk about that more a little bit later. But as you set boundaries with an abusive person, the abuse will escalate. And that makes people nervous because they're like, well, you don't want to set boundaries. At the same time, it's kind of helpful. That sounds crazy, but it's a little bit helpful when you can see the abuse escalate, because you know, oh, that's what this really is. So many people are kind of like, trying to like put the lid on the pot and the pot is like boiling over and they're just like trying to keep the lid on it. And I'm more of a fan of like, kind of let it play out a little bit, like set your boundaries, see what happens. And if things are getting worse, it's not necessarily a bad sign. It might be God leading you and guiding you to truth. And there's lots of examples in the scriptures of when people are trying to get to truth, Samuel the Lamanite, for example, or Abinadi or other people, and things get worse for them. but it doesn't say in the scriptures. And so Abinadi should have just kept his mouth shut.
Right. Because you want to, I mean, keeping pressure in is never helpful, right? You want to make sure the pressure comes out. And sometimes by setting boundaries, you're doing that and it gets uglier, but the pressure is going to come out at some point anyways. So
absolutely. And with abuse, it's always going to get worse before it gets better. Always.
Which is unfortunate, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah. There's no other way around it. It's like a surgery, you know, like you got to fix your, you got to get your gallbladder out. You're going to feel a lot better eventually, but the surgery is going to be miserable.
Yeah. Okay.
So then she's in this phase where she's going back and forth, trying to determine if she's crazy or if there's something wrong. This is where a lot of women go down the porn addiction route for a while discounting the abusive behaviors. So they might be like, oh, let's get into recovery. I'm going to support him. I'm going to help him. And they don't necessarily think about their own safety. So they're still being emotionally abused during this time, which is really tough. Is he repentant? Is he really emotionally abusive? Or is he autistic? I have a lot of women who are like, is he autistic? Does he have a personality disorder? Is he mentally ill? Is he depressed? And what I tell women is, you trying to determine the source of his behaviors is not going to keep you safe. So even if he has a good reason, so let's pretend like he has like a brain lesion. Let's just pretend. Okay. And he got that brain lesion in a car accident. And that car accident was through no fault of his own. And he came home and he started screaming and yelling and throwing pots at you. He might have a really good reason for being abusive, but he's still abusive and you still need to get to safety, right? So whether or not that abuse is caused by a personality disorder or a mental illness or depression or whatever, that you still need to be safe. When my ex-husband's abusive behaviors were escalating and I was getting really scared, I remember talking to a friend of mine and I said, I don't want to abandon him. Like, clearly he needs a lot of help right now and I'm really worried about him. And she was like, and get murdered in the process? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I know that you care about him, but you need to be safe first. Safety is the most important thing. And getting to safety when you're in a dangerous situation doesn't mean that you don't care about that other person. And that's something that's really important for victims and church leaders to understand.
And safety doesn't always mean grab the kids and move out, but you're saying safety is found in setting boundaries. And depending on the situation, that boundary still may be that you still live in under the same home, but there's certain boundaries in place that are creating safety for you and your family, right?
Yeah. It's going to be up to the woman to learn about boundaries and learn about safety and determine what things are most are going to bring her the most safety. I will say, though, that most women don't understand the danger that they're in. So I didn't. My bishop asked me, are you safe? Do you feel safe? And I said, yes. And a month later, my ex was arrested for domestic violence for assaulting me. So most women aren't going to understand the level of emotional, sexual, and physical danger that they're in. So I would say being aware of that is really important because she might not be ready to maybe ask him to move out, for example. Maybe that would facilitate her safety. She might not be ready for that. And so she'll have him still live in the home. But just because she says, this is what I feel comfortable at this time because she wants to stay true to her covenants, she doesn't want to ruin her family, you know, other issues, doesn't necessarily mean she's as safe as she thinks she is. And I think people need to be aware of that.
So that's an interesting, so what, when the wife doesn't realize maybe the abuse she's under, like, why would she take steps to even set boundaries to create safety? I mean, I guess I get the concept, but what are we supposed to do? Like, what are we supposed to do in those situations?
It's very difficult. I would say this situation is so complex and it's so hard that, women who aren't actively trying to find the truth are not going to be even attempting any of this. They could actually be actively abused and just be living their lives and not, and just kind of, you know, dealing with it. I have to make sure that dinner is ready at 6 o'clock, because if it's not, he's going to come home and scream and yell at me, right? They might not be like, oh, he's abusive. They might be like, okay, I just got to make sure that dinner is ready at 6, right? So that they might be in that mindset. The only women that I interact with are women who are actively trying to get to safety and determine what's happening and who have identified some of these abusive behaviors. for women who don't know about this, hopefully some of them will see presentations like this or other maybe public service announcements or something and start like at least having a little bit of indication that something might be wrong and that might help them. But and so women start their journey to safety in different ways. Some of them start slowly, some of them don't. So it is a very complex situation, and that's part of why it's so difficult to recognize. Yeah.
And so sometimes from the third party perspective, either the leader, the family member, the loved one, sometimes they just have to help talk to them about it. And then, but to some extent they have to just sort of wait for them to realize that there's some abuse going on here and it's probably time for some boundaries, right?
Yeah. I think the other thing is if they hear like I called my mom and my sister and I said, he told me that I was hideous. And well, he didn't actually say that. That's what I inferred. Sure. But he said, you are not attractive. I've never thought you were attractive, for example. So I called my mom and my sister. They did not say, this is emotionally abusive, right? They said, that's so weird. Why would he do that? That's really cruel. We don't understand. But the one thing they didn't do was try to dismiss it and say, oh, don't worry about it, you know. So I think that it goes both ways, right? So there could be clergy that's like, oh man, he really is being abusive. Let's just try and like lead her to understand that she needs to be safe. There could be that. Or there could be a wife coming in and saying, this is what happened. It was so weird. What I don't want happening in that situation is clergy, friends, family, anyone dismissing it.
Yeah.
Because in my particular, I would say that's more common. Actually, yeah. I'd say it's more common for people just to chalk it up to like stress or whatever, rather than saying, I don't know if it's abuse, but have you ever considered that it's abuse? I think that would help people. I think they're afraid of saying that, but I think that just considering it is okay. Because if it's not, then it's not going to really hurt them.
Yeah, that's helpful. That it's not necessarily your job to come, you know, swoop in there and say, this is abuse and you need to realize you're being abused, but just the least you could do is not dismiss it all that, don't worry about that. This is normal. Or I remember when my husband said that to me or anything like that, just don't dismiss it.
All men are like that, you know, yeah. It's like all men are say that stuff to their wives. That's not cool. Right, you know,
right. So just don't dismiss it. I think that's helpful.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, that concludes the clip with Anne Blythe. You can listen to her full interview, part of the Liberating Saints Virtual Summit starting September 10th. Make sure you go over and register for that at leadingsaints.org/liberating. You really don't want to miss this. This is life-changing stuff and really can help leaders be better prepared to minister to those who are wrestling with pornography, addiction in some form, whatever it is. It's going to be a phenomenal resource. So leadingsaints.org/liberating and join us.